Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
You heard it here first, folks. Jacob, not a fan of the candy cane.
Jacob,
man.
Is a misogynist and true. A racist because yeah, he doesn't like Mia DaCosta's Candyman.
It's true.
Just to spell it out for you, he's a racist because Candyman involves black people, and he's a misogynist because Mia DaCosta, who directed, is a woman. So therefore, if you don't like the movie, you're both.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Who Goes Your Podcast, yeah. Episode 408. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
And if you don't like this show, then you're a homophobe. And a
if you don't like this show, you're against normalizing heterosexual butt fucking. And you are fucked, and you are fucking us as a great man.
Well, you're not fucking us, which is the problem.
Yeah. You're fucking us figuratively, but not fucking us literally.
Which is what we really want.
Which is what we really need.
It's true.
It's what you really need, too.
If yeah. You're honest, I mean, with yourself. Yeah, we all need a good fucking, like Jodie Foster yeah. In True Country. For
she gets fucked.
Night Men.
In episode 2, she gets fucked by Doctor Who.
That's weird.
By the bad guy from the Thor of the Dark World.
Weird, it's a weird statement, man. It's too much.
It is too much.
Yeah, we spoke at length about Night Country on the Patreon cut of the show. So if you're interested in finding out how misogynistic we actually are, tune in.
Yeah. At the time of this recording, there's a pseudo culture war going on online about season 4 of True Detective, which by the time you hear this, we'll probably have blown over. I would hope so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, fellas, how you been?
Pretty good. All right.
How about you, Jacob?
I think just overworked like both of you.
Mm-hmm. How can you tell I was overworked recently, dude?
I don't know. Maybe
something.
Maybe something about like delaying the recording.
Oh, man.
But you know what? I think we all needed it, though. I think it was actually timed.
For a break?
Yeah.
Last week I was coming up with, what can I tell him? Don't tell him anything.
Don't tell him shit.
Tell him you need to chill.
Yeah, I just
need to chill.
See, we're allowed to do that now, dude. Yeah, we're allowed to take a week off without anybody fucking flipping out.
I appreciate that.
You know?
I appreciate that.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are getting their Christmas cards.
Christmas cards.
Not post-Valentine's, but post-President's Day. But, you know, they got them, though. That's what matters. And, yeah.
And they're liking them, and I feel real bad about those ones that got kind of messed up with the marker.
No, they're fine, dude. Those people love them.
That's a special.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I probably won't be doing that many drawings again, but I will be on time next year. That's my goal for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lofty goal.
Yeah, and again, on air. Literally. Thank you for picking that up cuz that was handled by Matt before.
For sure. Yeah. I could see.
And also late, by the way.
It was handled late before. And now,
people were memeing about like, oh, this is the latest it's ever been. But, I mean, it wasn't that much later than normal. So
there was almost no fucking card ever again. I think, you know, goddamn. Goddamn, you're so fucking ungrateful. No wonder you can't stop using drugs. Wait, who are you? Who are we talking to?
I don't know. Jesus. That was too much. That was too much.
It's pretty good. Hopefully. I like it. But.
So, yeah. I mean, I briefly mentioned it, but I did start watching Night Country. And, man, just the worst of the worst. You know, and we'll talk about it more later on, possibly. Let's see. Okay. So, I started dipping my toes back into early to mid 90s drama thriller movies, and I watched Along Came a Spider with Morgan Freeman and also Kiss the Girls with
I watched both of them
back to back. Alex Cross,
motherfucker,
man, those are fun movies, dude.
Okay.
I like Along Came a Spider. That's a good.
I prefer Tyler Perry as Alex Cross.
yes, yeah, very much so.
There's a lot of those movies, aren't there?
I think so.
But no, dude, I like those films. I miss that style of like goofy 90s. I also watched Men of Honor, which feels just like it in some goofy ass way. Cuba Gooding Jr. With the diving thing.
That's dope.
It's crazy, man.
Is De Niro in that?
Yeah, he is. I've seen that one. He's the fucking racist ass diving instructor. It's great. It's like, I will not have you on my dive team, Cookie. And I'm like, holy shit, what is this accent he's doing, man? He said he dropped some hard ends in that fucker, and it's like, woo-wee.
I'm sure he did a better job in that than, say, Killers of the Flower Moon, where, no, like, talk shit about Robert De Niro, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man, I took a weird turn last week.
Wow. I took a weird turn, too, because... Okay, so last weekend, we had this 3-day weekend. Did you have President's Day off?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
I didn't.
I did too.
It was nice. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, like I had a four-day weekend before.
Oh, so I was good.
Yeah. I had a shitload of homework to do, and I had other stuff to do, blah, blah, blah. The thing was, though, I decided early on, don't stress yourself out today about what you're not going to do. Just decide not to do shit today. And because I did that, and that's Sophia's Friday, so I have the house to myself with the little dog, it somehow fucking seized me to finally watch And Justice for All with Al Pacino, which is a court movie. And then after that, I was in, unsurprisingly, fucking Pacino goes fucking bonkers in this movie.
Yeah.
In 1981 or 1980.
Did you go down the Pacino-verse?
I went down the fucking courtroom drama-verse.
Oh!
And I watched The Lincoln Lawyer, which I'd never seen. And then I watched The Verdict with Paul Newman from 1982, directed by Sidney Lumet.
Yeah.
That movie fucks! But, dude, I like these court
dramas. Did you go 12 Angry Men?
Not, but see... Well, 12 Angry Men, I did a few months ago.
Okay. Did you go to Kill a Mockingbird?
We saw that in theaters last year.
Okay.
That's a fucking good subgenre.
Did you go...
I'm going to go Judgment at Nuremberg.
Did you go My Cousin Vinny?
Saw that last year.
Okay. Did you go...
I'm a fan.
What's the Matthew
Anatomy of a Fall?
A Time to Kill?
Not yet.
Woo-wee!
I don't even remember A Time to Kill.
Time to Kill is Matthew McConaughey, Samuel Jackson. Oh, okay.
Joel Schumacher directed it, but it's John Grisham shit.
You go to hell!
Yeah.
You go to hell, you die!
Who says that?
It's Samuel Jackson,
okay,
dude.
Okay. I mean, The Firm, I remember, was
The really, Firm is good.
There's that. Of course.
Dude, courtroom drama.
A Few Good Men.
Courtroom dramas are the best, dude. Trash, but Runaway Jury with John Cusack.
That was fun when I watched it 20 years ago.
It's trash.
Trash.
Legitimate. Trash. But it's Gene Hackman his Gene Hackman-y things.
I want to watch, too, like Primal Fear. I've never seen that.
Primal Fear?
With Edward Norton.
Edward Norton and Richard Gere, right?
Yeah, I've never seen that shit.
Ooh-wee.
I want to watch Presumed Innocent with Harrison Ford. I want to do it, man.
Yeah, man. Go do it, man.
That's a lot.
This is 42.
I didn't know there's that many. I didn't know. Dude.
Jacob, this is a subgenre of films.
Oh, no, it's my mom's favorite subgenre.
It's like boxing movies, alcoholism, and courtroom dramas.
Fuck. Yeah.
It's your mom's favorite?
It's courtroom dramas, yeah. That's like her favorite. I told her about 22 July. Is that what it's called?
Oh, my God.
She loved it. I was like, my...
Your mom is fucking... Your mom is dark, dude. Your mom is dark.
No, she watches the most... She just... It's just true crime 24/7.
I would highly recommend... Highly, highly recommend 22 July to people who want to watch a very somber... reenactment of the biggest mass shooting in European soil since World War II.
Yeah.
He killed, I think, 77 people. It's Paul Greengrass. He also did United 93.
Oh, my God.
A couple of fucking Bourne films.
Listen to this, man. You've got A Few Good Men, The Rainmaker with Matt Damon, which
never
is
seen it.
Hella dope. Michael Clayton. I think Francis
Ford Coppola directed that. Just Mercy just came out. Just.
Oh, my God.
There's so many.
Aaron Brockovich you could watch.
No. Not after this whole Night Country business. No, I'm just kidding. They have nothing to do with it. It was a great movie.
Oh, I remember that. That's
Steven Soderbergh, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it is.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the show Rectify?
No.
That was a good show.
Did you see Night Before?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I want to show Sophia that. That's the same showrunner as fucking... what else did he do? He did The Outsider.
Oh, it is? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I love Night Before. Oh, man.
And Riz Ahmed, that's where I was like, this guy, fuck.
That was probably the first time I saw him. Yeah. And, the closing argument that John Turturro does, like, brings me to tears every time. It's too good.
See, I only watched that miniseries once.
Oh, okay.
And it's time. It's good. It's
one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's time for a rewatch.
All right, Jacob. What about you, homie?
A couple real quick, and then I'll talk more about some other ones. But I watched Under the Skin again. Showed Courtney for the first time.
Oh,
she loved it. That's one of her new all-time favorite A24 films.
Dumb.
It is dumb.
It's so dumb in the room, but later on, it sounds so good. Never mind.
Yeah.
I also I went to the theaters and took her to see a movie that she was looking forward to, and I was indifferent.
Zone of Interest.
No, no, that one no, maybe yeah. Not yet. Yeah. But I saw Lisa Frankenstein, and it's not my cup of tea, but she liked it, and that's it. I'll move on from that.
That was your Valentine's movie?
No, we celebrated that shit early. We just like took her out to dinner and all that, but she wanted to see it, so I took her. She just was in the mood because, you know, unfortunately, the closest IMAX theater to me is Mission Valley, and it's a shitty IMAX theater. And, you know, I want to go to the one you go to. I think it's time. I'll just start making the drive over to, is it Palm or Plaza?
Dude, I like going to the Palm. The Palm is good. People say it's ghetto. Dude, whatever. Like
their IMAX screen's pretty good.
The screen is huge and it's loud as fuck.
Okay.
Fuck because it's ghetto. Because people are talking, so it has to be fucking loud.
Yeah, I'm going to make the drive over there because we did miss Dune 1 in IMAX and I'm bummed. But to make up for it, I did watch Dune on 4K at home twice this weekend. I loved the movie when it first came out, but I didn't truly appreciate it. Until I really sat down, I put on my Sennheisers and just fucking zoned in on it. I watched one just totally like fucked up on edibles and the other one sober. And like that movie is honestly like the greatest like adult science fiction just storytelling, and rereading the book right now and comparing it back and forth. I'm like, this is why we have like an Oscar category for adapted screenplay, because it really, I can imagine, it's just like people have said for many decades, it's one of the hardest books to like adapt, sci-fi books to adapt. And Denis Villeneuve like fucking knocked out of the park. Like, cause like feels like 75% of the dialogue's internal. So to be able to translate that into normal dialogue without any voiceovers besides like a couple scenes, it's fucking insane.
How do you feel about the first movie being like half of the story?
Well, that's how the book was. Yeah. But it's half the book
yeah. So that, and that's made me not appreciate it as much the first time, but you know they ended it on a great scene. I think it ended fine, and just the whole world building, like I've never seen world building be that entertaining to me personally. And that shit just blew me the fuck away. So with some of that cinematography, even if it's just all CGI shit, like it's still just so beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
And I'm just so immersed into this world.
Yes to everything you're saying. Yeah. Sophia and I went and saw it in IMAX. And I'd only seen it the one time when it came out, just like you. And it's a lot to take in. Like it's a lot of fucking movie. And I had wanted to watch it again at home, but I hadn't gotten around to it. I was glad, actually. So, and seeing it in IMAX at that Palm location with Sophia, both of us were fucking... That's a 4.5 out of 5 movie.
Dude, hell yeah. And it's one of the sad... It pisses me off. It's one of the 4K releases that they don't use the aspect ratio. You don't get the full picture at all.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan's films when they come out on 4K. Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna see him in 2 days. You know, two days from now we're gonna be seeing him in theaters.
Oh my god, I forgot. Yeah. That's right.
Some Tenet. Yeah.
At this time in 48 hours.
I've seen the movie like 2.5 times.
We've already seen it this Friday.
We're actually going to see it in backwards.
Yeah, I've seen the movie, and now I'm going to see the trailer.
Yeah. I've already seen the movie again.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to see I can't wait for the trailer. Never mind.
No, it's so much. Fucking, dude, holy shit, though. Dune is just the espionage and everything. Just the efficient just use of dialogue. And no line of dialogue is wasted in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of the most perfect. Like, I love Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
But I could see why 2049 and Arrival were him just... warming up to make Dune, and that's what he said. He didn't want to make Dune until he was, you know, at that level.
You know what Nolan said about Dune 2?
He said it's his Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
and that's all you need for that's
from Nolan.
That's an actual advertisement on Instagram and social media. It's just Christopher Nolan. Like, yeah, this is like Empire Strikes Back, and he's like, "Thank you. That's all you need, man."
I don't even need to watch it. I agree.
And that's what I'm excited about. Well, I know it's for sure on IMAX, but hopefully our 70 millimeter showing of Tenet, we get to see the sneak peek for Dune 2.
Something like with Villeneuve is the sparsity. But the other thing is stillness. Like, he has such intricate shit, but there's like the fucking scenes that really get you is this the stillness of it. And it just fucking like it. It's mesmerizing. It's hypnotic.
There's crazy landscapes. There's shit that just feels like the cover of like a 1960s sci-fi novel.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool, man.
And that shit when they're slitting people's throats in the rain and that.
Yeah,
the
Sadakar, like, oh man, there's so much more. The fucking the sequel is it's sitting at 97% right now. Sheesh. Rotten Tomatoes.
And a lot of people say the fucking villain Austin Butler is the MVP,
mm-hmm.
which is always good to
which
hear.
Is great because the trailer they barely showed much of him, and mm-hmm. you know, and just to spoil a little bit of the first half of the book, you know, the Harkonnens, his whole plan is to make you know, have a Beast Rabin, who's a Dave Bautista, kind of rule and be like this Iron Fist, but then win over the people by having Fade Rotha come in and win the people back over. It's this whole scheme, and I'm really excited to kind of see what they do with that.
Speaking of what Jorge was mentioning, the first movie being half the book, that gentleman who was on the show, he actually texted me while I was watching Dune with Sophia, because it's fucking crazy. Like, we're linked, like E.T. and fucking Elliot and shit, you know? He texts me, "I just went and saw Dune in the theater. I fell asleep through more than half."
That's a mistake.
So imagine being able to read Dune, which is fucking huge, but falling asleep in the movie, which is less than 3 hours. I don't understand.
I watched it two days in a row, like once, and then the next day I'm like, I want to watch it again. I was blown away. And when I was watching it stoned, I went like full like chimpanzee, like nonverbal. And
that's the way to go.
Yeah. And there was a point where this, I thought it was so beautifully shot.
It is. That
I thought I was watching like this intergalactic, like commercial for like a fragrance, like fragrance perfume or some shit. Like,
dude,
I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Is this like a commercial? Like, it was fucking crazy, dude.
Three scenes that really get me. The one I mentioned, of course, well, there's more than three, but the one, where they're in the fucking helicopter thingy, the mom.
The ornithopter mm-hmm. dude?
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Where Rebecca Ferguson and Timothée Chalamet and the voice scene, and yeah. like how the fucking, the dudes talk, like that scene's fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, of course, is the box. Like you know, the yeah. what's in the box thing. The
Gom Jabbar.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah. that shit is incredible. The editing is incredible.
Yeah,
like how he, you know, he blinks and then it, like he's
yeah. How do you get an actor from point A to point B across this massive room in 1 second? Like, yeah, yeah, the editing is fantastic.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I mean, see, there's way more. Having seen it twice now, it's just a lot of movie. When they're leaving the, what's the name of their home planet?
Kaladin.
Mm-hmm. And that's even the name of the track, Hans Zimmer's track, Leaving Kaladin.
Yeah. Dude, and it is so good.
It's so fucking like...
I wanted a whole movie on that planet because it's so fucking dope.
I was in shot. The theater with Sophia, just like... like, it's... You could just... It's like fucking the atmosphere.
Yeah,
it's
and so it, I was surprised. They don't show up to Arrakis until the 50-minute mark. And I'm like, dude, it's only like one chapter in the book, but it's so well... It's,
yeah.
Yeah. They fleshed Dune it out,
podcast.
Man.
Yeah. Well, and also you can still get the Lego ornithopter.
I know you want that, don't
170
you?
Buckaroos.
Woo!
Before
it does look dope.
We move on to other stuff. I do want to mention, instead of Lisa Frankenstein, on Valentine's Day, I sprung something on Sophia. I said, hey, you want to go see a movie tonight? And she's like, oh, I thought you had extra stuff to do at work. And I was like, I do, but I really want to see you. Because I did. It's true. Mm-hmm. So I got home. She's like, what movie do you want to see? Madam Web. So for Valentine's Day, we went and saw Madam Web.
This was your idea.
This was definitely my idea. Mm-hmm. And it was much like Morbius. It's like, why? Once it started, it became clear why. The movie, as most people know by now, most sane human beings, I think it's sitting at a 13%.
That's just misogyny, dude.
Oh, dude. Well, you know what it is, too? It's misogyny.
It's misogyny.
You just don't like female superheroes. You just don't like empowered women.
I clearly don't.
With glasses after they go blind. But there's so many fucking things wrong with this movie, and a lot of people say it's as bad as Morbius, but not as watchable. I disagree. There's fucking some really funny shit in this movie. And God damn it. Oh, the villain, particularly the way he talks. I don't know if they dubbed his voice, but frequently in this movie, it's been a while since I've seen this in a major, I can't remember the last time I saw this in a major Hollywood film. His voice doesn't match his lips.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh, they did that really shitty ADR. Oh, yeah.
It's fucking great, dude.
Oh boy, from YMS said the same thing. He thought most of his lines were ADR'd.
It was great. And the way he's, oh, the spider. Like, that's how he's talking, dude. Like, and it's like...
Well, he was there. They were researching spiders.
Dude, it's fucking crazy. And then Sydney Sweeney's in it and doesn't have much to do. And it's terrible.
It's a movie. Yeah.
And I would love to for you guys to watch it.
If you became a filmmaker... Would you still talk shit about that movie on a podcast?
You're referring to the Stuckman. Yeah. Stuckman needs to, if you're not going to fucking actually...
Don't review it.
Don't review it. Yeah. That thing is 17 minutes of him saying not nothing bad about the movie.
I was like, what is he going to say? I was like, dude, that's 17 minutes of
That's
my
why
life.
Jeremy Johns is still the GOAT, dude. He'll actually say the things.
That's the guy.
Well... And I get it, though. Like, Stuckman's trying this new fucking world, right? Like, it's gonna happen. He's an internet fucking reviewer who's trying to be a filmmaker, and he's trying to navigate that. Like, good for him. But, dude, the movie, you don't need to fucking, like, pull your punches with Madam Web.
Or just don't watch it.
If that's what your thing is now, there's no fucking reason for a 17-minute non-breakdown of Madam Web.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up.
That's the worst part, because you know he's just seething just under the skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if he's not, I wish I'll watch someone who is. Oh, there's that other one. I'd never seen them before. Like, Angry Review or... Have you seen those guys? I'll show you guys.
Oh, you mean the Angry Video Game Nerd? No.
Cinema Man.
Joe, right? Angry something Joe? Hmm. He still watches videos.
Yeah.
Hold up. Let me see. Who's this motherfucker called? You guys stall out for a second. Here's Stuckman. We got Stuckman. There's so many of these motherfuckers.
I know. The homie Brosif on Discord.
Angry Movie Review.
Always.
That's all it's called.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you seen
yeah,
this guy?
Yeah, it's Joe. It's Angry Joe.
Okay.
This guy's fucking dope.
Yeah, he's been doing video game reviews forever.
He's right.
Oh, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch his video. I will.
Dude, I like his. I love his delivery. Like, I like this guy.
Okay.
He's right.
Well, he's also misogynistic, so I guess that works.
Automatically. Yeah. If you don't like Madam Web.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. What else, Jorjito?
That's pretty much it.
I watched Babylon AD.
Oh, with your dad. How about that?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
It's one of your dad's favorite movies, right?
I think so. Yeah, but even him, when I was watching it, I was like watching him, and I'm like, I don't think he remembers this movie. Now he's like heartbroken because that shit was fucking so bad, dude. That is, I don't even know how to describe that movie. That's like, it's trying to be super heady with its script. And you could tell kind of like what the intention of it was.
Did you follow it up with Bloodshot at least?
I probably should have.
That's, man, if anything,
it was kind of like, yo, can I get the living room now so I can watch Dune twice in a row, you know? Like,
fucked so, up.
Dude, Bloodshot way better than Dune.
That's probably what I need to do. I need to watch The Last Witch Hunter to cleanse my palate.
Oh, that's what it was. So Last Witch Hunter, this is important, right? People have made the connections.
Yeah.
Last Witch Hunter Dracula Untold, Gods of Motherfucking Egypt, which is one of the best bad movies.
Phenomenal.
Of the last 20 years, in my opinion. Like, Jupiter Ascending and Gods of Egypt. Oh! Fucking, like, $150 million trash.
Okay.
But anyway, Gods of Egypt, Morbius, and fucking Madame Web were all written by the same people. No, I forget the screenwriters' names, but they have cracked the fucking code. These guys, they're like the anti-James... They're like... Whatever, like, James Cameron and Christopher Nolan have going on, they're, like, in the fucking, like, inverted version of it. Yeah. Like, they're doing the opposite version. To be able to bottle lightning like that repeatedly, like, dude, Gods of Egypt... And Gods of Egypt, Jacob, like, I just saw on the Discord. You've never seen it.
No, I thought it was the Ridley Scott Exodus Gods and Kings.
That's just a trip that I've never seen that either. I'm not even, like... A movie exists about Moses with Christian Bale... That fucking Ridley Scott did, and I'm not even interested.
Yeah.
No, Gods of Egypt is Alex fucking Proyas. He did The Crow and Dark City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Gerard Butler playing a fucking Egyptian god, because that's good casting.
Yeah.
With a Scottish accent.
It was in the Gerard, the Gerardessence.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gerardessence. Oh, like fucking, Geostorm?
Yeah.
Just good shit.
Yeah, it is.
He's a good one. I just want to mention real quick, Sophia and I was able to take Sophia to go see Bianca Del Rio, which if people watched RuPaul and whatnot, Jacob, you mentioned you might go see Willow Pill to take Courtney, but Bianca Del Rio is a drag queen, but she's an insult comic, like Don Rickles, but like we mentioned on the pre-show, because he's a drag queen, it's like nothing's off limits. And someone asked how it was, but this is how it was. Cancer jokes, gay jokes, death jokes, lesbian jokes, race jokes, school shooting jokes. And it was raunchy as fuck. And it was magnificent. Like people, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, from what you're telling me, a lot of good crowd work.
You're not really a fan of jokes.
Well, because this shit, these are like the thing, it's insult comic stuff. So the whole joke is who's in my front row?
And they're going to get it.
They're going to get it. So it's like the delivery in the moment and the improvisation. And the guy is so fucking quick. I don't know the actual name. I'm confused. Should I say the guy? But Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to go see Willow Pill, which is a totally different deal in April. The other one I like is Violet Chachki.
Okay.
You're all like,
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah, you don't got to worry about that. But yeah, Sophia's watching season 16 of that currently.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And we've been moving back and forth between X-Files and Next Generation. She saw Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and 2 for the first time. When more fucking Locutus comes out. Oh! And there are episodes of this show that are just too fucking good, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next Generation is badass, dude.
It's too much. Yeah. And I'm like, honestly, like, motivated to... I never got into Deep Space Nine. People fucking online say Deep Space Nine got better than Next Generation. I'm like... Either way, I'm curious now. And then Sophia's like, wait a minute, what about this? What about this? You know, because we had the Sarek episode, so we started watching the original series. So she's like, she's digging this Star Trek deal. Because it's a lot to get into, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fucking lore.
Huge fucking universe, man.
It's like the
most. And then you guys got to start watching the movies.
Yeah, which is going to be dope, because you just talked about First Contact not too long ago. She asked... Do the Borg come out in the movies? I was like, do they ever? And you know who directs it? Who? Riker. Riker fucking directs the movie. Anyway.
You want to fuck a Borg, I didn't know that. In fact.
What?
Really? Yeah. And then Sophia's sister, we went to visit her at a coffee shop she works at, and she had a buddy there named Ben. I don't know if he's listening to this. He listened to the Godzilla episode. He fucking loved it because he loves that movie.
What coffee shop?
Madeline. Madeline in Madeline's in Golden Hill area.
Okay. That's I have a cousin named Ben that works at a coffee shop.
But maybe he should sign up for Patreon, dude.
Yeah,
he turned me on to another podcast. It's a Star Trek: The Next Generation podcast.
Okay,
which is dope. So I've been listening.
There's probably multiple of them.
Yeah, there are. It's called Not Another Star Trek Podcast.
Well, you know. Hey.
Anyway. This is not another Star Trek podcast. This is a horror podcast.
So. I mean, is it anymore?
It's
We're pretty loose and goosey with it.
Yeah. Well, the movie we reviewed tonight is definitely a fucking horror movie.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Anything else?
That's it for me.
I think that's it.
All right. We'll be right back to talk about a film in like 15 minutes.
Okay.
One whole film and then 15 minutes of another.
Yeah. Damn, it sounds like you guys are having to get ready to talk about this movie, huh?
They have no idea. They have no idea, man.
I don't
go home and just watch like the last 20 minutes. That's all you need to see.
You're talking about the sequel. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, okay. Well, the first, let's talk about Patreon.
Patreon.com is where you can become a supporter of the show. You can pay $1 or $5, or is there a $3 tier? I think there is.
1, 3, 5, 10, 20, and then we got King.
50, 200, 500. And it's www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. You get the episodes early, you get exclusive content. You heard us going full misogynism because we don't like True Detective season 4.
True.
In the first 40 minutes or so of this show. Well, you didn't hear it if you're not Patreon. Yeah. And if you are Patreon, you likely fast-forwarded it.
And you're probably offended by it. I would assume.
Especially if you're on our Discord talking about how fucking good it is. This is not good.
Please don't.
Please.
We'd like to welcome Jimmy Brown.
Jimmy Brown!
Well, Jimmy Brown Eyes. I don't know if that's his like surname, Eyes.
Does he have Betty Davis eyes?
He might. But anyway.
Yeah, welcome, Jimmy.
Welcome. And we hope to see you on the Discord, because it's fucking Looney Bins over there.
Jimmy is the most underrated Tool song.
It's a good song. It's a good song. I do like it. I do.
Sorry,
like
Jake.
It.
You went full. You went crazy with that fucking Next Generation Tool thing.
Oh my God, I forgot to.
I would listen to it a million times. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Okay, what Jacob is referring to is there's a sound that occurs in a Next Generation episode where Data is making a little elevator platform
thing. And it makes it go up.
Retract.
Yeah.
And it happens, and my fucking severe autism kicks in, and I'm like, oh my God. And Sophia's like, what? What?
And you're all, let me roll.
I go on Spotify and start Lateralist. And before Lateralist, the beginning of Lateralist is a song called The Grudge. And if you hate Tool, I understand. But
yeah, it's fine.
That's fine. I mean, you're wrong, but it's fine. But no, and they have this sound kick in, and it's the exact same sound as Star Trek The Next Generation.
It's just beep, 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 dude. And that's it. I was like, okay. I was like, what am I listening for?
You're no,
like,
it's a, it goes. It goes, chick, yeah. That one, that's the sound.
Yeah. So, and also in various interviews, like Tool says, one of the things they do on the tour bus is watch Star Trek. So, putting all this together over the years, this was a big moment.
Yeah. That was me. I was listening to. There it is.
Uh oh. Wait for it, dude.
Okay. I can see why that's like ingrained in your head.
No, but it's extreme spectrum activity that I heard this sound on Next Generation and freaked out. Like, so yeah, it's ingrained in my head, but it's also that's like some meaningless fucking thing to notice.
Mm-hmm.
You're all most definitely. Mm-hmm. But also, I've cracked the code, man.
Also, apparently it shows up in King of the Hill season 1, episode 2 when the lady turns on the dairy farm.
Fuck them. Because I don't think... That's the thing. I don't think... Were they watching Next Generation or King of the Hill?
Both. Definitely. Well, yeah, both. But definitely predates
they King of the Hill, and probably. Then because of that, I started like... When it gets to certain scenes on Next Generation, I say, hold on. And I fucking mute it. And I put on different parts of Tool songs. Dude, it was going so fucking well. And then we watched X-Files and I put on parts of Undertow. Dude.
Okay.
It's dope.
Nice.
Enough of that shit, though.
Well, we watched 1997's Cube, and then also 2002's Cube Squared, Hypercube,
something.
Cube 2, Hypercube, whatever.
we just talk about the first one?
Let's get it going.
Let's get it going.
I got you. You do it, man.
Have you seen this movie before?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you think about it back then?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
I think my...
Don't fuck like this.
Is Cube trash?
No! No!
Cube sucks. Cube fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah,
holy shit! No.
Look. True Detective Season 4 sucks. Killers of the Flower Moon sucks. Cube is an inventive, minimalist, cool little movie with some dope-ass stuff and some horrible acting. And that dude with the bulging eyes who wants to rape. No, I'm sorry. I digress.
I think people like this movie, and that's totally chill. But this shit sucks.
You need to qualify your statement.
Cube fucking sucks.
All right, that's a good start.
The acting is awful. You know what, dude? Oh, it's minimalist, but the fucking set sucks.
The set is dope.
The
look at the set for part two, and then tell me how. Hold on.
You can't. Don't want to get there.
We'll get
there.
Yeah. You're like we'll fucking acting like part one is part two already. This is the good one.
I may have the not the benefit of hindsight, whatever the opposite of benefit is, the detriment of hindsight.
The detriment of hindsight.
Because I remember liking this movie. I do not anymore. I fucking hate this movie. And we can get into it.
Yeah.
Jacob?
We must.
It was a movie that I loved back in middle school. And Courtney asked, like, oh, what's the next movie we're watching for the show? And I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing Cube. And I was like, it's fucking sick, dude. This movie is cool. It helped jumpstart and popularize, like, the chamber piece survival horror genre. And I don't know. I just thought it was going to be fucking cool. And there's going to be some great characters. And there's going to be a lot of psychological shit. And then I'm watching it, and it's a soap opera with the most insane amount of overacting I've seen in a while, which, you know, then we'll get to Cube 2. But movie, I was like, holy shit, like, everyone is going all out. Like, it really, we got, they try to do clever things, like flipping the script with your hero who turns into a villain. This is Quentin, who... sounds like a Batman villain voice actor. And
no man to fuck you.
Yeah, it's fucking...
You go around smelling people's assholes.
It's fucking crazy. Exactly that, yeah. I will say that movie started strong. And it gives you like, oh, this movie's about the traps. It's cool. There's going to be some cool deaths. People are going to meet sick deaths. Every cube has crazy shit. But the movie ends up being a lot more heady. And I think that is cool that they didn't want to play into the trope that it's like just a Saw thing, a sci-fi Saw movie. And this is
Saw too. No?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's what my notes like. It's kind of like a proto Saw movie, like Saw 2. You know,
like, how? That's good.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But it was a sick chamber piece for its time, and you know, they weaponize autism in this movie, so that was cool.
God, dude. It's probably
the first one to really weaponize it like that.
They really did. They weaponize it and they bully it.
Shane Black's Predators wish it could weaponize autism the way Cube does.
They weaponize and shame it at the same time.
There's actually a thematic, and like you said, it gets heady. I think there's actually a heady point there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Go for it. Because
it's possible the movie... I don't want to go there yet, but... What?
I mean, I think... to your point, I think it weaponizes viewing autism. Because, like, I felt fucking offended. I was like, dude, I'm not autistic. My son is probably a little bit autistic. But, man, oh, man, I'm feeling like whoever this actor is... And he might be autistic. I'm not sure.
Oh, he's not.
He's not. Okay, so that makes it worse.
Yeah.
I'm watching this thing and it's like...
What did you think of Rain Man?
He's just going to scream for fucking 30 minutes. Okay, good.
It's stemming. That's what they do. I'm just kidding. No, but
what did you think of Rain Man?
Yeah, what'd you think of Rain Man? Did you like Rain Man? That's okay, right? No, but even that got a lot of shit when it came out, which I didn't know till recently. But it won Best Picture though too that year. But
yeah,
that's crazy. I hadn't seen this honestly since the early 2000s, and I remembered not like fucking loving it, but liking it. And I had forgotten. So thinking about like the traps and stuff like that, I had forgotten any of the gory stuff, including the cubing that goes on in the first scene.
Do you get it, dude?
Yeah, I get it. I also get that it's the first movie to do a really fucking cool thing.
Yeah, they were inspired by Sylvester the Cat in a cartoon getting cubed.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah.
I mean, credit where it's due.
Mm-hmm.
and then that's the best part of shitty Resident Evil movie that people stand by. And that's from Cube. What? A dude gets cubed in the Resident Evil movie.
No, it's the second part that what you said that I'm offended by.
Oh, shitty Resident Evil
movie? Yeah, that part. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first one?
Because that's the good one.
The Red Queen?
Yeah.
The Red Queen is cool. You're right. I agree.
You're all going to die tonight.
That's
and then great. The fucking room filled up with water and the fucking zombies are inside of it. Come on, meow.
But then when they're on the pipes and like they're zombies for like 30 minutes, I cannot.
Yeah.
But back to Cube. I think that the acting's a little shoddy, to say the least. Like you said, Jacob said overacting from Quentin. Look, I think the guy who's portraying someone autistic does well. I think he does that just fine. I think the old white bitch acts like an old white bitch just fine. I think the guy who looks like Ben Shapiro...
he does look like Ben Shapiro, man.
I'm like, oh, it's fucking Ben Shapiro, a fucking rapist cop, and old white bitch, an autist, and a fucking like a closet math lord who, you know, who's, and she's a very bad actress. She's a very bad Levin. Actress.
Yeah. Well, but, like, you think she's the secret genius math, and then you have Kazan, the autistic kid, also a secret mess. So they got like the same trope twice, but they're like, let's make it even crazier.
Well, and again, I think that has a point to it. I don't want to jump right there. But also, the thing about the guy gets acid to the face, I had forgotten that. And that's like, it's pretty like, you know, it doesn't happen constantly, but I was like, it was more than I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, and the, again, the cubing thing is cool and all that. I'm just, it's 90 minutes. And I don't, for me, it doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, it ends.
It doesn't, yeah, yeah.
It's right when it's like, that's enough, good. Like, you're over. It has enough ideas to keep it moving, even when it's like, again, some of this acting is fucking really bad. Some of the dialogue's like, what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's, like, Canadian stuff, but it can't be because Villeneuve and Cronenberg are Canadian, so what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, again, I say minimalist and it's like Corey is making fun of it, but I think the fucking limited budget they have, like, yeah. I don't know, how did they make those fucking panels and that? And
that's, the whole movie is filmed, for the set, it's just one cube. It's like 1.5 cubes. That's it. And they just changed the panel lighting.
Right.
And that was the entire budget, is just this one cube.
Which is freaking...
It's pretty, chamber pretty great.
Pieces yeah. like that? Yeah, I am impressed by that. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, it becomes not about the gore. It's not about the traps. It's very much about... It gets heady.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when a good time to jump into that is, but... Right, when we have the Ren, right? The guy who's the fucking...
He's an escape artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a classic, like, fucking Deep Blue Sea moment where Deep he's Blue like, Sea,
Feast did it. Yeah, you think they're the hero. They're going to get him out.
Yeah, he's like, you got to free yourself from yourself. And then he gets fucking acid sprayed in his face.
Yep.
Which is dope.
Yeah.
So I like that. And I like that the idea that whoever selected them, they were selected, right, because of their different abilities. And it's kind of like, let's see if this works. But as it progresses, the cube isn't the most imminent threat. The most imminent threat...
It's humanity, dude.
Well, it's... And again, though, it's a cliche, but it's fucking true. Because it's the same thing, different version of 28 Days Later. When they're like, let's get to the military base. Let's get to the military base. They get to the military base and it's like, oh, fuck. Now we're going to get raped. Like, it's like, dude, and it's same shit. Like, oh, let's escape together. And it's like, oh, fuck, this cop's going to rape us. He's going to rape the young chick and kill the others. Like, no shit. And this is where it's going pretty quick. And it's like, I think that's great. No, and his eyes are bulging out. Like, his eyes are fucking bulging out of his face. Did he get any roles after this?
Who, Quentin? Quentin? Let's see. What? Yeah, because his acting is something.
What is his name?
Maurice Dean Wint.
Yeah, look at it. He needs to calm down. He needs to chill out a little.
Not a whole lot. He does not have a whole lot of stuff.
So, like, first breakthrough comes through when they start figuring out the prime numbers, right?
Yeah.
And it's a good plot device. And again, it's like the first indication that maybe there is some reason. Like, it was intentional they left her the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My glasses! And then, like, that carries it for a while. But then, when they get to the autist, the mm-hmm. autist is the one who can just fucking...
The thing that I have trouble with is that, like, she was wrong the whole time. So they accidentally survived for, like, 30 rooms?
I thought about that. And I think the rooms were responding to what they were doing. Like, they were being observed. That's what I think.
Oh, you think somebody was like, okay, so they think they got it right. So right. We're not going to spring a trap.
Well, because if the idea is just to kill them as fast as you can, and also, why would you put people in there and not observe what was going on? You would absolutely want to observe what was going mm-hmm. on. And so once you get to that point, it becomes a little more heady because this is about fucking... It's not really about escaping the cube. It's about, like, what happens when you put a doctor, a fucking cop, Ben Shapiro, a math lord, and an autist together, and who survives, you know? And again, like, let's jumping to the spoiler ending, the autist survives, right? And it's like, that's weaponizing the thing. That's not how I see it. I see it as kind of like, it's a metaphor. Because,
oh boy.
Well, a society is generally judged by how.
Oh!
There you go.
He said it. He said the line.
Well, it's how do we treat people who are disabled? And
yeah. I see what you. I know. I get what you're going.
I'm saying they're protected. They're protected, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So and so the violent the guy the alpha male in this situation, the alpha male, the one who's most physically capable, the one who's most aggressive. The one with the strongest survival mechanism is the biggest threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a way of kind of turning that around on itself without being preachy. Very early on in 1997, it's not preachy. It's not like True Detective Season 4. It's not like Kathleen Kennedy's Cube. And no, I'm just kidding. So I actually think it does that. It makes that, like, you get what's going on very clearly. Like, when he lets go of the old white bitch, like, first thing that pops in my head is, he wants to rape the young chick. And then the first thing he does when he comes back into the cube is go, oh, sweetheart. Well, and it's like, you just know the fact that you know.
That's where he's angling to.
You know instinctively what's going on here.
Yeah. His first interaction with her, I was like, this is kind of creepy. And then I was like, oh, that's the point. Yeah. He's supposed to give off that vibe.
Well, and also, this is the thing. Is he just like a bad guy and all this? And this the thing is, there's no... Here's the word again, right? But I'm not going to use that one. They're outside of the bounds of any fucking law and order. So it's mm-hmm. just going to come down to physical force.
Yeah.
So he's like fucking very quickly, he's throwing force around. And literally they tell him at the end, like, you've done nothing. Like, all he does is threaten them.
Yeah, he doesn't contribute shit.
It's just backing him up with the threat of violence. Like, he doesn't contribute shit to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore... 5 stars.
You love this movie.
No, I don't.
So you kind of enjoy like the whole kind of like stripped down kind of plot.
It's like Twilight Zone to me.
Yeah, which is funny because one of the first instances of like a chamber piece survival horror was a Twilight Zone episode. It was like, what's it called? 5 characters in search of an exit. And they just had 5 very crazy characters. And
that's it.
And they were symbolically in hell. Trying to get out, I think. I can't remember. And that was actually the original concept for this film. The original plot was like crazy, insane plot points, very sci-fi. And it turned out like they're in hell and they're being chased by some hell beast monster. Very different film. Yeah.
But like wherever they are, it's about, are people going to cooperate? That's how we've survived.
Yeah, it's a behavioral story, cautionary tale, whatever it is. It's less about the end result, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fucking cool too when they get to the edge. Like, they're trying to get to the edge and they don't know what happens when you get to the edge. Mm-hmm. You know? And I like the... Oh, there's some philosophical talks, you know, and it's, again, it's not super deep or something, but the fucking Ben Shapiro is already... He's already, like... He's already given up on the sense of meaning and purpose for the thing.
Right.
But it turns out he's act regardless of that. So that's the guy you'd usually be like, oh, he's a piece of shit because he doesn't have a sense of meaning and purpose. And it's like, yeah, well, he's also not trying to kill people and not trying to make people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, and it's an inversion of what people would usually think. Like the fucking, you know, the value system is usually like, what about your kids? What about your blah, blah, blah? It's like, I don't have any fucking kids. I don't care. Et cetera, et cetera. But meanwhile, I don't want to make other people suffer and I don't want to fucking, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to fucking try to dominate this situation and be a total piece of shit. So it's making the point that you could be nihilistic and actually a much more moral person. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? So, but not give a fuck about morality. He's just not inclined to fucking do what the cop's doing because he's not a weird cop.
Mm.
He's Ben Shapiro.
Yep. Which is, I mean, similar. I mean, yeah, so it's obviously the film isn't good, right? In terms of like literal filmmaking.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
The reason why is because I think it's well edited. I think it's well constructed.
Yeah.
And I think it holds my attention for 90 minutes with a fucking room.
Yeah. Well, for at 90 minutes, there's not much attention to needed to be held, right? Like,
no, fuck, not true, dude. Killers of the Flower Moon, dude. Can't hold my attention for 20 minutes. No, like, what's it? We've watched so many movies.
I mean,
where it's 30 minutes in, and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, this fucking moved, even though it didn't really move. Like that.
I did, yeah, and it got creative with the camera work actually for being just in a fucking cube for 90 minutes. They tried to get pretty creative with the camera movements. They got like this claustrophobic feeling, you know, with the sets they were using, you know, back then, halogen lights, and like they're just fucking sweating, and you just kind of feel like you're in the room with them.
Yeah,
yeah.
What'd you think of the scene where they went in the room and they have to be completely quiet? Mission Impossible time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my brain is doing the thing where it's like, there's no shot that you're that quiet.
Agreed.
So
that's why it was really, to me, it was very suspenseful. I thought they did a good job.
Okay.
I thought the autist did a good job going the wrong way. It's like, what the fuck? What's wrong with you? You fucking like autistic? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, what's... and they use the R word for him.
They do, and I mean, it is of its time. So,
it is the cop, because he's like, what, you know, what do you mean the fucking, you know? Now I'm like, I don't want to say it this episode, in this context, right?
Right.
Anyway, but what else is there to unpack about Cube?
Fuck. You know, I just I appreciate the work that was put into it, because you could tell it was definitely like a big passion project. Like the character, the director, and Kazan, the autistic guy, and then Worth, I think you're Ben Shapiro. The three of them are like elementary school friends, and they grew up and they love film. They wanted to make a movie, so this was their movie. It's very like their Evil Dead moment with Sam Raimi, Tapered, and Bruce Campbell. Like, this is that version of it.
I didn't know
it.
That.
Yeah, well, so yeah. They're all best friends. They made it. And to get financing for the film, they made a short film called Elevator, and it was also a chamber piece. It just takes place in an elevator. It's like their little version of Devil, I guess. But I didn't watch it. But yeah, they had to make a short film to kind of show thematically what Cube is going to be, and that's how they gained a little bit of financing to make Cube. Yeah.
Did you see this writer did a Splice later on?
I saw that, yeah.
What did you think of Splice, Jorge? Your favorite?
No, I don't. I can't even really. Nah.
You don't like Vincenzo Natali?
That is a film that, like, after first watch, I'm like, never again.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I know the director did an episode of The Cabinet of Curiosities. He did the one with the rats.
That was a good one.
Yeah, and the guy fighting off the rats is fucking Worth, the main dude.
Oh, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
That was him.
You know, is that long enough? Right, you know, we've been stuck in the late 90s recently.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to review real quick, we got Existence, Disturbing Behavior. We did Species not too long ago.
Virus.
Like, and again, so they're all very much late 90s. And again, so regardless of liking, disliking the quality and stuff, this is, again, a prime, what is this, 97 or 98?
97.
And it is fucking 97.
Yeah.
Like the industrial design.
It feels like Alien 3, kind of like that industrial look, yeah.
Yeah, it has that late 90s industrial oppressiveness.
It is 97 as fuck, that is true.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, you know, and is it nostalgic to say? Yeah, but also if I wasn't born then, I'd still be like, wow, good 97 time capsule indie horror film. Like it's totally a 1997 indie horror movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's, you want to know what that looks like? It looks like fucking cute.
Yeah, that's spot on.
But,
you want to know what the 90s were like?
Cube. So, I'll watch Pulp Fiction. No.
Cube.
That's the 90s trying to look like the 70s. Watch Cube.
Yeah.
So you don't like it, Jorge?
I don't. I was kind of disappointed because I had fond, like, feelings about Cube, and I remember talking about, I was, well, it's like, how bad could it be, right? Like, yeah. It's worse.
I was a little embarrassed showing Courtney. I was like, I'm sorry.
It's
like,
worse than I remember, and now I think about that Japanese remake, and I...
Which is supposed to be really bad.
Yeah, which is supposed to be worse.
And I'm like, how can it be, you know?
Well, this is sitting at a 7.1 on IMDb. People are fond of this.
Yep.
Which is cool, but
which yeah. I don't. I'm not trying to. I would never be like, well, you know, if you like this movie, you're a dumbass. Like that's not. It's just. It's far worse than I even had any recollection.
I think
of.
If you enjoyed it a long time ago and you haven't rewatched it, just don't
watch it again.
Don't watch it again. That was like Virus. It's like Virus all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Don't throw this. Don't throw this on your rotation.
This has a few things Virus does not to me, particularly a structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can't move at all if it didn't have a good structure.
But it also has far less than Virus.
Oh, undoubtedly. It's minimalist.
It doesn't have robots, dude.
It doesn't have a fucking indigenous person from an island who can't swim.
Exactly.
Yes.
Do you believe that a sequel can harm the original film, its predecessor?
Maybe in this
case. That's a good segue.
You know, because I think...
Very good.
We're going to segue to Hypercube, Cube 2, Cube Square,
Cube Squared Hypercube.
This is the Matrix Reloaded of Cube. This is, it's fucking...
Yeah.
It's like fucking Cannonball Run 2.
They go full, like, full ergo, like, in this movie.
It's, okay, so you watched, like, a few minutes of it, right?
I watched 15 minutes. And let me, look, because let me get my little part out of the way. From the opening shot, because I watched this back-to-back, too, the 15 minutes.
You're like, it's the same opening shot, the eyeball.
No, well, dude, it looks like it's filmed on a camcorder. It's this girl.
This is a USA Films ass movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It really points out the aesthetic goodness of the first film.
Yeah.
Like, limitations aside. Like, fucking seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the actress, whoever that is. And then the cube itself. This is important. In a movie called Cube, where it takes place in a cube, your wall, like, the fucking texture and the textural palette needs to be at least interesting.
Yeah, you like texture and colors.
Take it out.
Take it out. Because we don't have money or effort for that.
Yeah. Even those Lionsgate and shit. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like it's really puzzling. It's puzzling. They went fucking so low effort on the cube in the sequel, which is their moment, you know?
Yeah.
And they go hard into a lot of the fucking early 2000s thing of doing like the quick close-ups, that kind of stuff. And then, like, it cut to that fucking dude, the businessman, talking to himself and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's me. You know, I'm out.
It's And also, like, this movie has no hook in the beginning or anything. It just starts, they wake up and they talk and they establish the point, like, hey, you already know that Cube 1 isn't about a slasher. There is no crazy, like, there's a couple crazy kills, but that's not the point of the film.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue that. And have like no deaths until like the 45 minute mark. I mean, there's like a death, but it really doubles down on the conceptual. Well,
and
shit.
And not only that, dude, it references the first cube. It's fucking bonkers, man. When there's that moment where he's I think it's the guy from the beginning where he goes, the first one, it was just like this. It was just like this. And it's like, oh, the fuck? What are you guys doing, dude? This shit is nuts.
Well, yeah.
Well, we haven't even talked about the actual cube because it's okay. So the subtitle of this thing is Hypercube, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like it's like it should have been called Wormhole Cube. It's that fucking crazy.
It's like if Christopher Nolan did Tenet, but actually did zero research on entropy and theoretical physics,
and then did meth.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this is.
It's meth cube.
And honestly, watching the first 15 minutes... With 20
bucks for a budget.
Yeah, and in the first 15 minutes, you might think that you have this movie down. You're like, okay, there might be like some weird, heady time travel, weird shit, loops. No, it's like nothing like that, dude. It's, yeah. They're like, whatever the physics are that involves like Tesseracts, we're going to display all of that on screen somehow. And it is the most bonkers ass shit. And I just when I was bored, there was a point where I gave up hating the movie, and I was like, you know, I just gave up and gave in, and it is the fucking craziest like last 20 minutes I've ever seen. Like I can't believe everything was greenlit for this movie, dude. It's the wildest shit. They what's his name, the architect in Matrix Reloaded. Like I felt like it was channeling that energy, like it's trying to be as conceptually heady as Matrix Reloaded in the last 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah, but so better.
I mean, I don't maybe, know, depending on how you feel about it. Yeah, so like the cube is more of a portal, right? Mm-hmm. Like the exits and entries are portals to the doors. And then there's like an otherworldly being that's kind of like walking around.
Yeah, they were straight up like, you know what? Let's throw in a CGI killer cube. No traps. Just have a killer ghost cube. Yeah.
Dude. And I found out earlier that the director's actually a cinematographer for a couple dope.
I just saw this. Yeah, Jorge's not wrong. He's a cinematographer for fucking Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Fuck. Maybe stick to that.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, I mean, he's been doing that since then. But fuck. It's a perfect example of a guy who has a good eye for film.
Yeah,
and it's like, let me take a crack at this, and it's like, holy shit, man, what the fuck.
Like Wally Feister when he stopped doing fucking Nolan movies and then went and did Transcendence. Did you ever see that shit with Johnny Depp?
No.
Oh gosh, yeah. It's like his consciousness getting fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like heady sci-fi premise, Wally Feister's directorial debut, terrible. Just trash.
Yeah.
So I love that you guys were definitely more excited about Cube 2.
I am.
Yeah, I was like...
You're not saying it's better, but definitely more exciting.
It got me far more jacked up than Cube.
There was a point where I was like, oh, okay. It actually like pulled me back in the worst possible way, but it pulled me back in.
Man, when the first time the Cube starts eating Homeboy's legs, I was so in, brother. I like... He's handcuffed himself to this fucking ladder. And the cube is starting to like, you know what it reminded me of? Did you guys ever watch this little short film, The Raft? It was based off of a Stephen King short story. It's basically this bunch of teenagers are on a raft and this oil slick thing starts like eating them through the fucking shit. Slats. It's a really cool story, both the written short story and the movie or the episode, I think it was. But it had that kind of like same feel to me where it's like, oh, dude, the cube's an animal and it's going to eat you. It's pretty cool. he gets sort of like, I guess eating isn't the right word, but it like almost instantly ages things. I think that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're meeting versions of yourself that are older and younger, and it turns into like a fucking slasher at one point with one guy who's been trapped there, which it looks like decades, and he's just been murdering the same people over and over again. It goes fucking
That's a cool idea.
No, like, yeah, conceptually, I'm like, this is kind of sick. I know what they're trying to do, but I'm like, this is the worst looking movie I've ever seen.
And look, with no context, I'm just reading this plot synopsis on Wikipedia, and this, I'm like, if this was, I'm down for this. Kate finds that the Tesseract is shrinking. Dope. They said Tesseract. I'm in. She stabs Simon in the leg with his knife and punches him in his throat, killing him. She looks at the numerous duplicates of Jerry's watch and realizes that 6:06:59 is the time that the Tesseract will implode. She takes Alex's necklace, which is filled with confidential information on Izon. The hypercube starts to wear away, and Kate opens a panel in the bottom, revealing a black void.
Dude, don't... Yeah, that scene where she...
She jumps in as the hypercube implodes... That sounds fucking dope.
Doesn't it though, dude?
The visual effects are fucking crazy. It
sounds like a fucking Meshuggah album. But yeah. It's just trash.
I was like, dude, Christopher Nolan could have made this movie. It made it fucking crazy.
It sounds like totally like shit I imagined listening to the Nothing, the album from Meshuggah from
2001. Yeah. It's crazy. It's an unbelievably ambitious film, which falls short on every single facet of this thing. Like, it's wild.
The last,
but we highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it. Yeah,
over far Cube more One. Than
Cube. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what's crazy. That's the craziest part, dude. And you could make a music video out of like the last 10 minutes.
So, someone actually has sex in this fucking cube in the second one.
Oh, the sex scene, the weird floating shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Dude, it's a music video. Like,
I gotta watch it this week and the rest of it. I fucked myself over not watching.
Probably
this
don't one. Watch it with Sophia because it's not.
No,
like...
No. This will be like 2 a.m. after I do homework and shit.
Yeah.
This is like when I'm like delirious and drinking like a bang at 2 in the morning, sudden, like trying to get to dawn and watch this shit. It sounds great.
Yeah, just when you thought the overacting was bad in the first movie, it's dialed up. Like you instead of the autistic guy, you got a blind woman.
I can't believe she says the line, dude. And mind you, this is 2002, right? Like not to say that like any era it's worse to say the word retard, but she literally says, "I'm blind, not retarded." And I'm sitting there and I go, "Dude, Cube 2 is like making fun of Cube 1 for having an autistic person." And it's fucking crazy, dude. It's fucking bonkers.
That happened.
We're definitely, I mean, right now I got Star Trek The Next Generation going on.
Cube, dude, what a weird ass fucking weekend.
We're watching Tenet in 2 days. I mean, ooh, we are fucking dorked out right now, dude.
Yeah. We're all over the place.
Yeah. But so have either of you seen Cube Zero?
I have not, but no. I believe was it NoCal Mike, I think, or someone messaged me when I posted a clip from Hypercube talking about Cube Zero, and you know, it's obvious trash, but I watched the trailer and it feels like it dabbles more behind the scenes, the creators behind the cube. But I can't even imagine like the world building they're trying to do.
Of Izon.
Yeah.
Like, see, and that's an example to me. I mean, again, if it's well executed, it's well executed, which it's not. But, you know, the first movie, I'm cool with not, the less I know, the better.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the nightmarishness of it to me, the ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, so I like those talks when they start talking about, like, you know, it's a perfect parallel to. You don't know where you are. You don't know how you got there. You don't know how to get out.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing.
And this film has, it's still ambiguous. It's like the ending of the first movie, but an extra 30 seconds. Like you just get a little bit more, but it's still, there's still the ambiguity. You're still questioning like, what the fuck was that? But yeah, they feed you a little bit more, but it's just, it's fucking wild, man. Like the first movie, you're kind of in for the ride. They're solving these puzzles. And you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, like it's almost like you might be able to do that in in real life, you know, survive the cube if you had a match. This one, there's no way you could solve it. There is, there, yeah. I don't think there is. Yeah,
you're not getting out.
I don't there's think no they way you solved can follow it.
The plot, they much solve, less yeah, solve the cube.
No plot. No, I like that. You can't solve it. It's just, it's pure madness. But they do touch on that. Like, it almost feels like cosmic madness. Like, when you have this, one of the characters who's just going in these loops for decades and just killing the same person over and over and shit like that. Like, that's really interesting. But this, Jesus, man.
This Izon angle with the corporation, it's like got me thinking, do we need a crossover between this franchise, the Escape Room, the Skedet Room franchise,
Skedet,
and Severance? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like fucking put them all together. You got the Cube fucking corporation, the Skedet Room, and fucking Severance. And then now you're fucking with some dope shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that Eisenberg movie you said you watched where they fucking go to that?
Oh, Vivarium,
I oh, think is what God it's called. Damn,
that shit was trash and a half, man.
Have you watched that yet?
No. I heard conceptually it was kind of tight, right, in the first, like, 10 minutes?
Well, dude, like, you know, we both like Mindfuck. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
yeah,
sure.
There's like
it's
a point.
Bad Mindfuck.
It's one of those. There's a point in the film where like you just stop right there.
30
right?
minutes.
Yeah, yeah, 30 minutes.
The, in that your one. Twilight Zone episode is over. Stop it. And mm-hmm. then it goes on another hour.
Oof.
It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, it's when you pull the same gag 4 times in a row. It's like,
And it's like, well, that's the point. It just keeps going. It's like, okay, I don't need to watch it. Yeah. Like you could stop.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, it's not clever. Stop that.
I mean, even if it was clever, it stopped being clever 30 minutes ago.
Exactly. Mm. You got where this was going already, you know? So I still like the first Cube for its time, and again, I think it's peak late 90s indie Canadian horror. Because I mean, I'm getting very specific. it's the best late 90s movie to take place inside an industrial cube from Canada.
There you go.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's the only one.
But it's the best.
It's the best.
Yeah, I got you.
And yeah, the acting, goddamn, but it's so bad it gets kind of absurd to me. Like that scene where the fucking, you know, the no man to fuck you part and smelling people's asshole. Because that's not just his acting. That dialogue goes fucking bonkers. Like, yeah. Is that how they talk in Canada?
With smelling assholes?
Yeah, smell other people's assholes.
I don't know.
Like, that's fucking dude,
did
dope,
it,
dude.
Did it seem to you like, in Hypercube? Sticking your nose on other people's assholes, sniffing their business. He's so squeak, dude.
Yeah, I squeak. Dude, I'm sorry. And then Ben Shapiro's watching this, just appalled at his behavior and his bulging fucking eyeballs. It's like Ren and Stimpy or something, dude.
Yeah,
you guys were going somewhere else.
I don't know. I was going to say something about Hypercube, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
It's weird that movie managed to draw me back in so many minutes into it.
It's The last third sounds like a real fucking
even visually. It's like, wow.
Is that you posted that on your story?
Yeah, well, a dude like literally gets eaten up by a fucking tesseract something.
Yeah, it like shreds him up. Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
By a screensaver.
Yeah, there's dudes getting beheaded and shit by ghost stuff. I don't know, dude. Nothing's explained.
So the blind girl's like, oh, it's here. And it's like, bitch, what?
The blind girl's like, I made it. I made this. He's like, I am Izon. No, I'm kidding. No, she's a hacker that helped create the Tesseract and was like, I don't know, they're after her. And she's like, what better place to hide than my own creation? I don't know. It's fucking crazy. They had this needle drop moment, this big plot twist. And I'm like, I don't care. Just give me more people getting eaten by cubes.
Yeah, fried up by the fucking cube. That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
Were any of the kills on par with the best kills? I know there are far and few between in the first one. The best kills of the first one?
Well, none of it is practical, that's for sure, dude. It's all CG. CG. The first one's great. The guys who did the special effects, they It's not like it means anything, but they went to the school of fucking. I was gonna say it was done by.
It's
not
like it means anything.
I was gonna say it's. It was done by the legendary Gordon Smith, but I was like, actually, they went to school, Gordon Smith School. So it's not like it was him that did it. Huh. But that guy is a legendary special effects artist. He did like the original X-Men, and he's known for doing like the most realistic. Lifelike body castings, so that's why that scene where the dude gets cubed, it looked like CG, like his face looked real, but that was an actual puppet.
Was that the dude from Anything for Jackson, but young?
Is it? I don't know
which one.
He is a weird
the guy peculiar, who gets cubed.
He is a very interesting, very defined face. So
I'm gonna look up Anything for Jackson. He's the old man in Anything for Jackson. Is the character I'm thinking of.
Oh yeah, Julian Richings. You are correct, sir.
That guy. I wonder. That's Julian Richings. Good job. See, he's a horror dude. He's part of the horror.
I feel community. Like he plays movies where he doesn't talk and he just looks creepy as fuck.
Fuck yeah.
He was in Bo is Afraid.
Oh yeah, he was
as the strange man.
Okay.
Let's see. Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
This guy's.
He was probably in that episode.
He's dope as fuck.
Umbrella Academy. Okay, now I remember him. Out. I remember him now.
What else we got for this?
All kind of stuff. This little homie, dude. This little homie's in all kind of stuff. Chaos Walking, great movie.
That joins the Jupiter Ascending Club. Yeah.
He should be in Dune. He looks like a Dune fellow.
Anything for Jackson, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Anything for Jackson was one of the better streaming horror movies that year, easily, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know? Did you ever see it?
No.
Yeah.
You talked about it a lot.
I think you would like that one.
We were pretty positive on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people fucking love it. Like, I don't love it. But, you know, it was definitely a horror movie. It was a proper horror film.
Yeah,
satanic shit and everything. People in wood chippers, fucking all sorts of stuff like that.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
Dad with a weird ass beard.
Yeah, that fucking guy. Yeah, everyone wants to walk in on a fucking Satan worshiping thing at your local library in a small town, right?
Hell yeah,
this is that movie.
I would love to do that.
I would too.
Be dope. All right, everybody. I was gonna say gentlemen, but I mean,
wow. Dicks out, gentlemen.
Dicks out, gentlemen. Dicks out for fucking True Country.
Dude, we fucking, that's bad.
Hyper country.
If you like that Night show, Cube. Sorry Night about
Cube.
That.
all right, well, do we know what we're doing next?
We don't. We need to chat about it real quick, but cool. We still need to figure out our hackers live stream Discord extravaganza.
Good Lord.
Which would be very like hackery of us to pull off.
It would be. Good call.
Yeah. It's like Hypercube shit.
It is Hypercube, yeah.
Just, we'll edit, so it's like halfway through Hackers, it just stops and plays the last 10 minutes of Hypercube.
Yep.
That would be dope.
We'll do that. I'll hack the movie.
Yeah,
I'm cool
hack
with that.
The planet.
Oh.
All right. That's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 408. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Rhett.
Bye, idiots.
Bye, Sophia.
He didn't say hi, though.
Hi, Sophia.
There we go. You tenanted it.
I called her on the way over here this time.
Ah, that counts. All right.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.